Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, now I'm going to give you a dual text. I'm going to go to Acts, the 20th chapter. You can go there, and then Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Acts, the 20th chapter, Malachi, the 3rd chapter. We're in our series on I Have Decided, and we said that that this was a series, as the case may be, on making good decisions. Although you have some goals for 2018, I wanted to come alongside and help you with some spiritual decisions that if you make these decisions and if you stick with these decisions, they'll change your life. So the last decision that we've been talking about is I have decided to give God the first. And really when we talk about giving, giving is really a matter of the heart. When we begin to understand God is not really so much after your money as much as he's after your heart. But the Bible says that where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. I've learned that if God can get your heart, he'll give you whatever you want. He'll give you the very desires of your heart. And so, and giving is not only a matter of the heart, but it's also a matter of trusting God as your source. That I trust God as my source, that I understand that money is not a source, it's just a resource. I understand that my job is not a source, it's just a resource. I need my job, I need money, I need all those other things. But at the end of the day, I understand that God is my source. And so my wife and I, we enjoy giving. We really, really enjoy giving. I love to give. I believe that everybody should love to give because the Bible says that God loves a what? A sad giver, right? Oh, he didn't say that? Oh, okay. What did he say? A cheerful giver. Matter of fact, the Amplified says a cheerful, hilarious, prompt to do it giver. You got it? Whose heart is in his gift. Like, you know, most pastors think I'm crazy because I tell them, if you're just going to have a bad attitude when the bucket passes, like, hey, here, y'all can take it. You might as well keep your money. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're going to need it. You got it? Because it works when I do it with the right attitude and in faith. Does that make sense? And so when I give and I give in faith. And so Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 35th verse, in the Message translation, it says, you'll not likely go wrong. And really, the Message is more of a paraphrase. It's not really a translation, so I like to be correct when I say that. But in the Message paraphrase, it says, you'll not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering that our master said, you're far happier giving than getting. You know, the Bible says, thank you, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You got it? Have you ever wondered why it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? You got it? You know, because watch this, my giving determines my receiving. You know, the Bible says in Mark the 4th chapter, the kingdom of God is as a man would cast seed into the ground. And the Bible, I'm paraphrasing, he'd go about his business, you know, normal day in and day night, and the seed would begin to spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. And then he talks about the process. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. It's just kind of like the process. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. But a lot of people, especially when they hear a lesson on giving, they realize they're supposed to, that because they love God, they have a heart to give. So it's not the seed that gets them, it's sometimes the time that gets them. And so there's seed, time, and harvest. And so, but you have to understand that there's a process to it. The farmer does not go to the ground and, you know, and put his, you know, get on his knees and talk to the ground and says, hey, you know, if you give me a harvest, I'll give you a seed. Because it doesn't work like that, right? So you have to first, he has to first sow seed, and the seed has to go down into the ground and take root, natural process, right? And then it comes up, and then you see first the blade, see the little green. When the farmer sees the green, he knows, okay, it's working. And so as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit realm. And so the Bible says in Luke, the 6th chapter, if I give, what's going to happen? It's going to be given unto me. Because some people say, well, you know, I'll give to God when I get enough, you know, and it doesn't work like that. And so giving does three things. For the context of this lesson that I want to teach you, giving does three things. The first thing that I believe that giving does is giving makes me more like God. Everybody say giving makes me more like God. All right, John 3:16, we know this scripture inside and out, but have you ever thought about it? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. So love gives. You got it? And so you have to understand that God so loved the world that he gave, and God wants us to be generous like him. We serve a very generous God. How do I know we serve a generous God? I can just look at my life and how he's blessed me, and I know he's generous. You got it? Because how many know we're not perfect? We make mistakes. Even since we've been, you know, saved, we made mistakes. But God, in his goodness and with his grace and in his mercy, has been generous to us even when we weren't always good to him. So you're quiet, but I know I'm telling the truth. Amen? All right, and so giving makes me more like God. Giving makes me more like God. All right, number two, giving strengthens my faith. Giving strengthens my faith. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world does giving strengthen my faith? Because, see, giving causes God to show up in my life. And when God shows up in my life, it strengthens my faith. When I see the principle working, it works. When I release what's in my hand, God releases what's in his, you know, and giving, you got to get this. Giving is more than just about getting money back. We want money back. We believe for money back, but it's far more than that. It's far more than that. The Bible says, I'm going to go to it a little bit later. We quoted it we went to it on Sunday in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. And he talks about that you will have all sufficiency in all things. So all sufficiency in all things, not just money. You know, so I don't know about you, but what is a whole bunch of money in a bad marriage? That's not going to do anything. Or what's a whole bunch of money and you're sick in your body, you can't even enjoy spending the money, right? So when people like to talk about prosperity and those kind of things, I told them it's the total package. They say, what are you talking about? It's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. So yes, I believe for increase. I believe for my barns or my bank accounts to be full. I believe that I have enough to take care of me. I have enough to put in savings for later, have enough to be a blessing to somebody else and still have a grip left over. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all know what a grip is, right? Yeah. All right. And so I believe that, but I believe it's much more than that. I believe that I should have peace in my life, not some of the time, but all the time. I believe I should have joy in my life, not some of the time, but all of the time. I believe that my marriage, that my relationship with my wife should be good, not some of the time, but all of the time. And you have to get to a place in faith where you believe, no, it really can be good all the time. I remember in the early days of ministry, there was I can't remember who it was, and they might be here tonight. It's just been so long ago, and I remember that I think they had brought maybe their mom to the church to introduce us and that kind of thing. They came to service, and she's like, you know, these are my pastors, you know, Pastor James, Lady LeConte, and they get along so good, they never fight, because we tell people we just made a decision we are not going to fight, because what does that produce? Absolutely nothing. You got it. And so what happened was, it was like the lady looked up like, child, don't believe everything people tell you. Like almost it would not be possible, you know, to have a good marriage. And so the Bible teaches us in Mark 9:23 that all things are possible to him that believe. And so when I begin to understand that giving puts me in covenant with God, that I'm not just in faith that he's going to cause, you know, increase monetarily, and I do believe that that's going to happen, but I believe much more than that is going to happen. I believe for the total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. All right? Now let's go to Malachi, the third chapter. I think I said that a little bit earlier. Malachi, the third chapter. Here at Without Limits, we like to say that giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. It's God's plan to prosper our lives. And, you know, well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because, you know, unfortunately, you see people play games and do things that aren't integrity and that kind of thing. You know, and I try to get people to understand, even though you might have experienced something crazy, it still does not take away from the fact that giving is God's plan to prosper our lives. Does that make sense? All right. Malachi 3 and 10, it says, bring ye some of the tithe into the storehouse. Okay, now when I'm wrong, you got to shoot me down. Right? All right. So it didn't say bring some. So if you made $3,000 this week, you know, I don't like to talk small numbers. I believe that you're going to make big money. Isn't that right? But watch this. If you don't believe it, it won't be possible. Right? And so if you were to make $3,000, get $3,000 of increase this week, what's your tithe? $300. So if I decide to give $100, guess what? I have not really given the tithe. Right? Yeah. And so I've got to understand. He says, bring ye all the tithe into the store. And how many of you can't pay God later? right? He wants the first. He wants it first. Isn't that right? That's what. So if somebody walks up to you right now and gives you 10 $100 bills, right? Then what are you going to do with the first $100 bill? Yeah, somebody said, I was going to get some gas and, you know, then hook God up a little late. No, the first one goes to God. And this is what gets me. Listen, y'all. Y'all already know I have issues, right? I have issues. You have issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, right? But what really gets me, my issue with that is, okay, a minute ago, let's just say that somebody just gave you $1,000, 10 $100 bills. A minute ago, you had no money. Now, 60 seconds later, you have you got a grand in your hand, right? And you're like, I don't know if I should give tithe or not. Wait a minute. You just had no money. Now God, the favor of God, what is the favor? God raises up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. God will raise up people because, but is that scriptural? Yes. He says, I will cause men to give into your bosom. So when I read that years ago, I wasn't happy about somebody giving to me. I said, God, raise me up and make me the man that you flow and stuff through. And that has to be the same prayer for you. Don't just get so excited about God's going to call somebody to give to me. No, I want you to bless me so much in abundance that I'll be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? I was with my grandmother a couple months ago, and we were in line. And I tell you, whenever God tells you to give, do it with deliberate speed. Just do it because watch this. Even your pastor, we can all talk ourselves out of it. But not because we don't want to give. There was a lady in front of us. I had my grandmother. All my brothers and sisters, we take good care of my grand. We go pick her up. We take her. We get her what she wants. You know what I'm saying? Even the stuff she don't need. You understand? Because she understands the principle that God just doesn't want me to meet my needs. He wants me to have what I want. You got it? And so we get her what she wants. And so we were at the store, and then there was a lady in front of me, and she had a pretty good size basket. And Holy Spirit's like, pay for it. And the paying for it was no problem. I wanted to, but in my mind, see, that's why you can't let the devil talk you out of it. Because I'm like, well, I don't want her to, you know, act like I think she don't have no money or make her shame, you know. And it was like the Holy Spirit's like, okay, you're going to do what I'm telling you to do, or you're going to figure it out on your own. Because it don't work too good when you figure it out on your own. And so anyways, and this all happened in about 20 seconds. Y'all do understand that. And so it gets to the point where she's just about to tell her how much it is. And then I said, oh, ma'am, let me take care of that for you. And I just took my credit card and I just swiped it real quick. You know, and she looked back at me, you know, and I didn't know what to say. I just looked back. I'm just smiling, you know. And she's like, can I give you a hug? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, you can give me a hug, you know. And so she could not believe it. So you have to understand that God is looking for channels that he can flow through. If he can get it, watch this, through you, he'll get it to you. There's a whole lot of stuff that God will get to you if he knows he can get it through you. Yeah, but if you're there and God tells you to be a blessing to somebody, you're like, well, God, I got bills myself. I want somebody to do something for me. No. The reason it's more blessed to give than it is to receive is because what happens is when I give, a spiritual transaction has now taken place. I have released what's in my hand, and now God's going to release what's in his. Does that make sense? And that is why God wants you to be happy about it. That is why God, and the funny thing is, you know, you always have to do it right away. You always have to do it right away. It's easy. Like, they know me at, like, certain places we go, like Dunkin' Donuts and stuff. Like, if I don't pay for the car behind me, like, the lady looks at me like, you missing something this morning. I'm like, can I decide when I want to pay for the car behind me? But, like, seriously. My kids are like that. Like if we, you know, if I'm paying and they're giving this stuff, Hannah will be like, Dad, the car behind us. I'm like, can I make up my mind who I want to give to? But isn't it good that we're teaching our kids at a young age that we're blessed to be a blessing? And so back to our point, we bring all the tithe because it's only, watch this, to the degree that I bring it all, that it puts me in covenant with God. All right? So bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That was a good point, wasn't it?
that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That's singular. The blessing, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. The blessing is the anointing to prosper. It is the blessing that will bring all the blessings, plural, that you will ever need. You know, when we say blessings, I got, you know, I want him to bless me. I need a good car, or I need a home, or I need this, or I need that. And so, but the writer says that when we tithe, that he will pour out a blessing, which is the anointing to prosper, that will bring all the blessings that you need, that you will not have room enough to receive it. Watch what verse 11 says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I love this next part. I love this. This is the will of God for every believer, that all nations shall call you blessed. For ye are a delightsome lamb, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to give you these seven promises kind of quickly. I want to give you these seven promises. Not yet. I want to give you these seven promises. But let's kind of go through it. You remember when I said that he'll open up the windows of heaven? Right, y'all know that though that is not literal windows of heaven where God's dumping out $100 bills. So you can stop walking down the road looking up in the sky, you know, thank you, Jesus. No, that's not what that means, right? So what happens is the windows of heaven is not just financial blessings, but it's favor, it's growth, it's increase, it's opportunity in our lives. Really, it's kind of like a refreshing and a revival in every area of my life. All right. He says, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. I just explained to you a moment ago that the blessing is the anointing to prosper. All right. So the blessing is the anointing to prosper. And basically, when you search the scripture and what theologians say is he's trying to show you that I am your source. Like when you do this, you won't have to look to anybody else. When you do this, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out. I will anoint you to prosper because I am your source. Does that make sense? All right. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, the word rebuke means to cripple or to paralyze. Everybody say cripple or paralyze. So God Almighty will actually cripple or paralyze the enemy on your behalf with your tithe. All right. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. So this means that the enemy whom God has crippled on your behalf will not be able to touch your finances. The fruit of your ground refers to your money. The enemy will not be able to touch my money. In other words, it will not be like I have a hole in my pocket. It's Monday. I just got paid on Friday and my money's gone. That's not the will of God for the believer. That is not the will of God for the believer. He says, neither shall you cast your vine before, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In John 15 and 15, you remember where he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches? And so really he's talking about the family. And so God gives this amazing promise that he will not allow the enemy to touch your family because you're a tithe and you're in covenant with him. You got it? All right? So he says, all nations shall call you blessed. All nations shall call you blessed. All nations shall. What he's saying is that you will be a mighty witness on the earth of the goodness of God. Like I believe, this is just me. I believe that believers, born again Christians, should be the ones that live the best. I do. I believe that if I'm living holy, if I'm walking out this word, if I'm loving people, if I'm impacting people's lives in an amazing way, if I'm making a difference, you got it? If I'm giving God the first, you understand? If I'm doing that, I believe that I should live an amazing life. I submit to you that some people don't live an amazing life that are believers simply because they don't believe that they should live an amazing life. Because the promises of God are received how? By faith. Isn't that right? Okay, and then he says, you shall be a delightsome lamb. Delightsome means highly desired. And so as you obey the Lord with the tithe, God will so highly desire you that he will use you for his glory in all kinds of areas. Okay, so now let's break it down. The seven blessings, I'm just going to summarize it. This is what's going to happen. Now you can put it up on the screen. You will have revival. You will experience great prosperity. The enemy will be crippled and will not touch your life. Your finances will be safe. Your family will be safe from the hand of the enemy. You will be a great witness of the power and blessings of the Lord to the nations. You will be highly desired, and God will use you for his glory. That is what happens when I release the tithe. That is what happened when I released the tithe. All right? So giving is the key. Giving is the key. All right? Everybody say giving is the key. All right? Put up Proverbs 11 and 24 for me. Y'all getting blessed? All right? Proverbs 11, 24. He says, this is NIV, he says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but what happens? Comes to poverty.
Yeah, that is up there, right?
Yeah, okay. But comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So the Bible says that one man gives freely, and he gains even more. He's blessing this person. He's blessing that person. You got it. He's already given tithes and offering, but God speaks to him and says, give something to missions or do something here. I mean, he's doing this. He's giving freely, but he keeps gaining. But he said the guy that has the closed fist, remember we talked about that on Sunday, the guy that has the closed fist, watch this, and he's not giving to anybody, but it seems like he's still losing. See, the thing about a closed fist is, yeah, you, watch this, no one's able to get anything out of it, but nobody's able to put anything in it either. Does that make sense? Right? And so, in God's economy, giving equals gaining. In God's economy, thank you, giving equals gaining. Everybody say giving equals gaining. All right? But watch this. Let me help you. Giving becomes difficult if I don't realize that it's God's plan. Giving becomes difficult if I don't realize that it is God's plan to prosper my life. If I don't realize, this seed, because that's what we call it our seed. Seed, it leaves my hand, but it never leaves my life. Where does it go, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It goes into my future. It prepares my harvest. It waits on my arrival. And so there are things that happen to me all the time, like incredible things. People are always a blessing to me. You got it? And I don't know which seed it was that caused them to be a blessing to me. You got it? And watch this. And so what do? I just keep on being a blessing, and God keeps on being a blessing to me, but I don't stop because now I've got what I want. No, because that's not the principle. See, God never raises us up to make sure we're just okay. He told Abraham, and thou shalt be a blessing. So God raises us up, or God blesses us so we can be a blessing. So watch this. So he keeps blessing, and I keep blessing. He keeps blessing, and I keep blessing. He keeps blessing, and I keep blessing. And if everybody would really do it that way, then all the families of the earth really would be blessed. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, I got to go. Where does the time go? All right, here we go. Let me talk about this difficulty thing, and then we're going to get out of here. But let me go through this first. All right. It's 7:58. We normally get out at 8 o'clock. Can I get 5 minutes? Yeah. Everybody okay with 5 minutes? Who would raise their hand and say, Pastor, you can have 5 minutes? Who would raise their hand? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Okay. All right. Letter A. Don't be talking about the pastor. The Bible says something about touch not the Lord's anointing. Now, let me stop. Letter A. It's difficult to give when my plan to when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. So letter A, it is difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. And so I must have confidence that God's plan works better than mine. That's the bottom line. I must have confidence that God's plan works better than mine. Okay, I saw y'all. Y'all saw me looking up at the screen because I was waiting for the screen. And then I realized I didn't give them this part because I added this to my lesson. So that's not their fault in the back. I got to cover them because y'all be like, well, I don't know what's going on in the back. Church folks so critical. Y'all know that, right? So I have to help everybody. Letter B. I'm not going to look for it on the screen. It is difficult to give, watch this, when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. I'll say it again. It is difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. I can never see giving as losing, but rather gaining. Because you can never beat God giving no matter how hard you try. All right? Letter C. It is difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. Never forget, number one, everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, they happen over time. And that's why I tell people, don't see, you mess up when you try to compare yourself to somebody. You got it? And so I don't ever try to compare myself to anybody. And so what happens is I work the word, you got it. I'm patient, you got it, and I rejoice when God blesses somebody else. What did I say? I work the word, so I'm going to give my tithe, I'm going to give my offer. I'm going to do that. I'm patient because I'm letting patience have her perfect work, and I rejoice as God blesses other people, even, watch this, if he hadn't blessed me yet, because he's going to bless me. I understand that if God is blessing my neighbor, that means he's in the neighborhood. You got it? And so I'm, listen, you get a new car, a new house, I'm going to dance with you, I'm going to shout with you, I'm going to be happy for you. Somebody else, something happened, I'm going to dance, I'm going to shout, I'm going to be happy for you, because I know that God's going to bless me too. Amen? All right, last one, letter D. It is difficult when I allow others to dump their doubt and belief on me. One thing you have to learn to do as a believer, if you're really going to walk by faith, if you're really going to see the promises of God manifested in your life, if you're really going to, so to speak, go to the next level, really mature, really develop, really learn that word, really walk that thing out, one thing you're going to have to learn to do is stay away from small-minded people. You got it? You have to learn that I have to stay away from small-minded people. There's people on your job that don't go to church anywhere, but they try to quote the Bible to you. Right? Well, I wouldn't go down to that church if I was you. Well, what, you ever been there? Oh, no, I ain't been there. Well, where you go? Oh, I fellowship with, that means that they don't go to church. When the Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish, you know, and then they try to give you a scripture and they don't even know what they're talking about. So you have to stay away from small-minded people. Or they'll say, well, I went to church for a little while and giving never worked for me. I believe it. I believe it, because you never intentionally released faith for the promised blessing, and you never did it God's way. You put God on a timetable. Okay, God, it's Sunday. No, it's Sunday. I'm going to give you the Friday. But, you know, if I don't see the blessing by Friday, that's, you know, I'm going to keep my little money. Well, you better just keep your little money. Because one thing I learned about God is God is not magical, but he is sovereign. And he's a man of his word. It's not that he will not lie. He cannot lie. And so he, watch this. The Bible says that he sets his word higher than himself. But the amazing thing is that Bible says that, but he also looks over it to perform it. So you can never be God-giving. So you have to work the word, be patient, rejoice for others, and watch what God does in your life. All right. And so, they'll say like, you know, well, giving never worked for me. The word of God does not need our experience to validate it. The word of God is what it is, whether we experience it or not. Doesn't that make sense? Faith is the key. Everybody say faith is the key. So people will impose limitations on you. And the danger of them, and what I mean by that is they'll tell you, you know, don't believe for that. Or don't buy no new car. The one you got, there's nothing wrong with that car you got. It might be 10 years old, but it's fine. It's fine. No. My faith and your faith are different. Amen. Well, you don't need a payment. Well, who said I was going to have a payment? Who said anything about a payment? God can raise up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. Does that make sense? My wife and I have given several cars away. Several cars and pay cash for them. I bought my pastor brand new. I was going to send it to y'all. I wanted to give it with my testimony on Sunday, but I just didn't have the time. So I purchased my pastor a brand new Navigator, paid cash for $54,000. This is a good story to close. Can I close with this story? Yeah. We got to get out of here, so let me close with this story. So one thing I tell people is, I just told you a minute ago, everybody has issues. Y'all know that, right? So like, one of my issues, I don't even think it's a bad issue, but just one of my issues, I like cars. Like, you know, I just like cars. You know, and every couple years, I'm going to get me a fresh car. Like, some guys say they want a fresh pair of sneakers. I just want a fresh car. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's just me. That's my faith. I can afford it. I don't ask anybody for anything. I'm to the place in life where I can pay cash if I want to. So you understand what I'm saying? So that's, you know, and I think that it's okay if I want that. Yeah, I mean, because I'm not asking anybody for anything. I'm a giver. I give tithes. I give offering. I give missions. I give my man and God. I give. Right? And so I think that that's okay. And so I've always been like that. Like, just always been like that. And always liked the nice car. And so I remember I was, so my wife, it was about that time to get another car, about 24 months. And and I went and bought her a brand new Navigator. And so this is one of the rare times that we left church on a Sunday morning, because my pastor was incredible pastor, but he was very old school. So if you told him, "Pastor, I'm going on vacation for 7 days, 7 days. It's okay, no problem, I'll see you Sunday." I'm like, "Okay, Pastor." And so anyways, I had bought the car, and we were on our way out, and I wanted to stop by, because back in those days, we weren't doing electronic giving and that kind of thing. This is long before I was a pastor. And so so I wanted to go drop my tithes and offering check off. I wanted to bless my man of God, you know, just do that kind of stuff. And and so I pull up in the truck, and he didn't know who it was, because he wasn't used to seeing me in that car. So he comes out, and, you know, my pastor is from the country. He's from Georgia, you know. So he walk out, "What you say?" You know, he dancing, you know, just all. And he, you know, he got his leg up in the air. He's just happy, you know, that we got a new car. And really, let me just be honest with you. It blessed me that somebody was blessed that God had blessed me. Does that make sense? Because you don't see that all the time. And, you know, most people, they want you to be happy for them, but if you get something, it's totally different. Like, they want you to rave about them. But then when it's their turn, they get blessed, it seems like they don't rave about you. You know, I'm kind of like, I'm not a smart man, but I don't think that's the way that works. You understand what I'm saying? And so he was so excited. That stayed with me for the rest of the day. So we're driving down 95. By this time, we're probably near Baltimore. And I told my wife, I was like, I think we ought to buy him one. And she's like, okay. And so I called Lejeune Honda, because that's where I had bought it. We lived in Jacksonville. The guy's name was Gary. He might still be there. So that way you can, if you want a fact check, you can go find out I'm telling the truth. And I called him and said, "Hey, Gary, do you have another one of those Navigators that I just bought?" He's like, "Yeah, is everything okay?" I said, "Oh, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine." I said, "But I wanted to get another one." He's like, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, I wanted to get it for my pastor." Now, how many know he did not understand me wanting to buy it for my pastor? You know, and so basically, you know, he had it. We bought it. We paid. Oh, there it is. Pay cash for it. Amen. And so, amen. $54,000. And then when we returned from vacation that next Sunday, we presented it to him, you know. And I think that's the only time, because my pastor's old school. He don't think men should cry. You understand what I'm saying? But I broke him down that Sunday. Yes, I did. And so people will impose limitations on you, but the danger of them imposing limitations is that it hinders your expectation. When my expectation has been hindered, my faith has nothing to work with. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. When you have hindered my expectation, you now have defrauded my hope. And my thing is, who are you to tell me what I can have and what I cannot have? Where I can go and where I cannot go? What I can do and what I cannot do? The Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And so, amen. And so I have just made up my mind, man, I'm going to live. You got it? I'm going to live, watch this, at another realm in life. That I'm not going to depend on what I can do in the natural. I'm going to work the word and watch what God does for me in the supernatural. Does that make sense? And so I want to challenge you to really work God's word, walk God's word out, work the principles of faith, and watch what God does in your life. How do you say this? You may not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be. And the key is, quit looking at where you used to be and look at where God has already brought you. Paul said, "I'm going to forget those things which are behind." And he said, "I'm going to reach, I'm going to press." So watch this. Watch this. If, okay, don't fall, son. If I'm reaching, right, I'm trying to get to you, right, I have no time to look backwards. And so that's why the writer says, I got to reach forward. And I'm not going to worry about the back. Because what happens is when you step out of the boat and start walking on water and start confessing the word of God and start confessing all my needs are met according to heaven's best, that I eat the best, I wear the best, I live in the best, I drive all my bills. Father, I thank you that the next car I get, I won't have a payment. I thank you that you're blessing me to pay this payment now. But I thank you you're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their increase to help me prosper. You got, when you start talking like that, then favor starts showing up in your life. But when you get out of the boat, don't back up. Because the enemy, what the enemy will try to do is he'll try to start talking you out of things. He'll start trying to talk you out of giving. He'll start trying to talk you out of serving. He'll start trying to don't get a new car. No, you just keep that one. That one will be good at least for 30 years. And I'm not knocking if anybody wants to do that. Y'all understand that, right? But all I'm saying is, never scale back your expectations because of the small-mindedness of others. You serve a big God, and he can do anything but fail. Do y'all receive that on tonight? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm way out of time. Let's stand up all over the building. We got to go home. Did y'all get blessed? All right.